grace and God's deepest mercy be yours tonight from God the Father and from the Lamb who was slain, Christ Jesus. Amen. It's not good. And there's no easy way to say it. It's not good. There's no easy way to say it, so I'll just say it. It's already spread too much. At this point, it's inoperable. Exactly, we can't operate. For your condition, surgery is no longer a viable option. It's not good. Now that's a fair question. Another great question, and now I'm sure you've got a lot more. Let me try to answer them one at a time. So to your first question, yes and no. Yes, it does appear to be genetic. So it's something that one or both of your parents passed on to you. I'm sorry. And no, that's not the full extent of it. Yeah, yes, it is it's hereditary, and now that it's been diagnosed, I'm sure you'll be able to look back into your parents' lives, and one or both of them, you'll probably be able to recognize some of the symptoms. But no, that's not the full extent of it. Again, there's no easy way to say this, so I'll just say it. You've contributed to the condition as we see it now. Yeah, genetics, luck of the draw, you are already predisposed, but you've made certain lifestyle choices. You've developed certain habits over the years that have brought the condition to what it is right now. Your choices haven't helped, and you've made it worse. Now? What can we do now? I'm sorry. Nothing. There's nothing you can do now. It's already spread. It's inoperable. It's terminal. It will kill you. Now, that's a natural question, but I hesitate to give any kind of time frame. I don't know. It's just speculation. A week, maybe two? A month? I've seen it run its course in less than 5 days. Maybe a couple years. Some people, after they've been diagnosed, have been known to live relatively normal lives, all things considered, for several more years. But in your case, I don't know. It's not good. It's already spread. It's inoperable. It's terminal. It will kill you. It's serious. It's sobering. It's sad. It's sin. Lord God formed the first man out of the dust of the earth. And it was nothing but a lump of clay until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And God planted a garden, and he placed the man whom he had formed into the garden, and the Lord God caused to spring up from the ground every kind of tree that is pleasant to look at and is good for food, and everything was exceedingly good. Everything was exceedingly good. But then the man made certain lifestyle choices. First, doubting, and then disbelieving and disobeying. And before he knew what happened, everything that was good and beautiful was soiled with pain. Because of your sin, God says to Adam, because of your sin, cursed is the ground because of you. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat all the days of your lives, and thorns and thistles it will produce for you. In pain you shall eat your bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. It's not good. It's not good. It's inoperable. It's terminal. It will kill you. You will die. You will decay. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And yeah, it's a condition that every single one of us has inherited from our parents, and yet we can't just blame them, because each of us has contributed far more to what we experience now than we'd care to admit. And we've each contributed to this condition far more than we could possibly ever realize. We came from the ground, and we will return to the ground. And in between, we have dug ourselves into a hopeless hole in the ground. C.S. Lewis describes this hole that we've dug ourselves into in mere Christianity. And he says it like this. Now, what was the sort of hole man had got himself into? He had tried to step up on his own, to behave as if he belonged to himself. In other words, fallen man is not simply an imperfect creature who needs improvement. He is a rebel who must lay down his arms. Laying down your arms, surrendering, saying you are sorry, realizing that you have been on the wrong track, and getting ready to start life over again from the ground floor, that is the only way out of a hole. This process of surrender, this movement, full speed astern, is what Christians call repentance. Now, repentance is no fun at all. It is something much harder than merely eating humble pie. It means unlearning all the self-conceit and self-will that we have been training ourselves into for thousands of years. It means killing a part of yourself, undergoing a kind of death. In fact, it needs a good man to repent. And here comes the catch. Only a bad person needs to repent. Only a good person can repent perfectly. The worse you are, the more you need it, and the less you can do it. The only person who could do it perfectly would be a perfect person, and he would not need it. Lots of us give up things for Lent. I gave up doing dishes and laundry last year. Lots of us give up things for Lent. Typical things are like chocolates, although I suspect many people will be starting that tomorrow. Lots of people give up things for Lent. Chocolates, soda, dining out, fast food. And I think that's okay. I think it's a good practice. I think developing a little self-discipline, a little restraint from the immediate desires and fulfilling those desires whenever we want, whatever we want, I think that's a good process. The old theologians would call that mortifying the passions of the flesh. I think that's a healthy process for us. And yet there's nothing inherently wrong with chocolate. There's nothing wrong with a little fast food or dining out or drinking soda. All things in moderation. Those aren't inherently bad things. And so for Lent this year, as a community of faith, what I'm proposing is that we step up our game. Not giving up laundry or dishes, not giving up chocolate or soda. This year I propose that those of us who are taking our walk of holiness seriously for the next 40 days, I propose that we give up sin. Let's, for 40 days, with just a concerted effort to give up sin in your life. And sin, I realize that's abstract. That might be a little too vague. It's going to create a lot of wiggle room for us or questions, and we'll end up discussing what is or isn't sin, and the whole 40 days will have passed. And some of you in your walk of holiness, maybe that's too much to go for all at once, so we'll take it bite-sized at a time. So we can, instead of sin in general, let's narrow it down. We can think about the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to quiz you, although I'm tempted. And I think that would be, in case we were short of things to repent of, that you shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day, the keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false testimony to your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor or their wife or their stuff or their land or anything. And so this year for Lent, I propose let's give up breaking one or two of those. And if you're feeling ambitious, you could take the one or two that you most struggle with and really just kick it in the teeth this year. Come out swinging, pick that commandment that you've had the hardest time with, and this is the year you're going to conquer it. And if picking the hardest commandment for you is perhaps daunting for 40 days, maybe you're more on the side of let's get some momentum, let's pick an easy one, let's get some low-hanging fruit so that once we've mastered that, and then we can kind of get rolling and we'll get the other 8 or 9 in due time. And so just pick one of the easiest ones for you that you've got the best grip on, and let's give up breaking that commandment for the next 40 days. I honestly do think that's a noble effort. But at the same time, it wouldn't take too long. Probably before I got to my car tonight. It wouldn't take too long, if I'm being honest, which is hard to do sometimes. It wouldn't take too long if for even a passing moment we had God's penetrating perspective into the very depths of our souls. It wouldn't take too long before I'd be giving up on myself. Rightly so. It wouldn't take too long before I'd be saying, Dan, you are dust. And to dust you shall return. Think about it for a second. Not one of us could keep a single commandment for the next 40 days if our very lives depended on it. Not one of us, to the extent of God's holy requirement, could keep a single commandment for the next 40 days if our lives, but not one of us. And I know when we come to church, there's this temptation to kind of puff out our spiritual chest and act like we've got it together. And if you know yourself well enough to pop that balloon immediately, there's still this temptation that when we come together, there's this temptation to think, well, I know I'm screwed up and I know I can't do it, but man, some of these other people got it together. But believe me when I tell you, not one of us could keep a single commandment for the next 40 days if our lives depend. Not one of us, not the person you came in a car with today, not that family who sits orderly in a row and their kids behave. We don't have those, by the way. But if we did, not that person who's been serving in Sunday school their whole life and they know it all, not that person who's got the Bible memorized, not that person who sings beautifully in the choir, not that person sitting next to you or behind you, and certainly not the person standing in front of you. Not one of us could give up breaking a single commandment for 40 days if our lives depended on it. None of us could. And so thanks be to God that there was one who did. And he did more than give up donuts for 40 days. Right? He went 40 days and 40 nights with nothing to eat or drink in the wilderness. And he didn't just pick a commandment or two to keep some of the time. He kept all of them all the time. He had no inherited sin, and he committed no sin of his own. And yet God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He had no sin of his own, and so God credited to him the sins of the world, and the Father said to his Son, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." And under that unbearable and ungodly weight of my sin, Jesus died. And his dead body was laid in the ground. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. But as dust, you shall not remain. For although there was nothing we could, and there is nothing that we can do to cure ourselves of this deadly disease, God took it upon himself. God took it upon himself to save you. And God credits to Jesus all your sin. Your very sinful nature, the particular sins that you're ashamed of, the ones that you've forgotten about, the ones that you've worked so hard to hide from others, you've convinced yourself it's not a problem anymore. God has credited all of your sin to Jesus, and he credits to you all of his righteousness. He takes your death, and he gives you his life. God used dust to create us. God uses the death of his Son to save us, and God uses his life-giving Spirit to call us, and he calls you tonight. God again calls you tonight to repent. He calls you to give up on yourself. He calls you to die to yourself. He calls you to trust in him as your only hope. He calls you to trust in him desperately. He calls you to receive life, not life in and of yourself, but life in him, a life lived in and through his Son, who he has raised from the dead. Sin, as unpopular as it may be to talk about, even in the church, sin is real. But so is God's love for you. Sin is serious. So is God's forgiveness to you. Your physical death will come. A month, maybe two. Perhaps less than 5 days. 6 months. A year. Maybe you'll be able to live a relatively normal life, all things considered, for several more years. But your physical death will come.
but so will your physical resurrection on the last day. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return, but as dust you shall not remain. For Christ lives, and in him you have life. To which I say, thanks be to God. Amen.